Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345. Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
It's Urban Media Today talking sports. Your man Trevin Jones, Trevin A. Jones. Don't forget the A. A means everything to me. And then I got my man Vince Butts over here to my left, and to my right I got my man Ray Porter Jr. And sitting in front of the three of us is Ray Butts, but we're gonna keep him quiet today.
You know,
I got to get that in there. Right
Mr. Disagreement is online here, okay? So we're going to be ready.
Okay, no, it's all good. So now he's Mr. Disagreement. He doesn't agree with everything anymore?
Oh, no. No, Mr. Contrary, man.
I'll believe it when I hear it, all right? First and foremost, big guy, what's happening? Always got you on our minds and our hearts. Welcome. Can't wait for you to get back soon. Making great progress, and we're keeping you in our prayers as always. Gentlemen, today's Saturday. You know how we do. If I'm excited, it's because I'm happy I get to sit with you guys. We get to talk sports. No guests this week, but that's right. We're going to have guests on the regular. A couple things I want to talk about, and you guys tell me what you want to talk about. Today, sometime, I want to do an NFL mock draft. And for the listeners, what that is this with the draft coming up on April 26th, we'll just go through the first five picks that each of us would pick as if we were the teams, and then we'll just pick a player, and then we'll talk about the player. It's that simple. We won't bore you, I promise. we ain't going to get away without talking about the NCAA championship that took place last week, right?
Oh, please don't.
Because somebody won. We did predictions at the beginning, at the end of last year, with all the major sports, and we picked who we thought would win the sports. And Vince got off on the early start. He was on a roll. We picked Alabama.
Alabama won
the college football championship. And then I followed up Vince by picking the Philadelphia Eagles to win the Super Bowl. I swear I really picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
We witnessed that he did.
Yeah, I did. Thank you. And then the title still stays in Philly, though. But Ray, I give Ray a hard time because I have fun with it. And it's just cool. He's such a cool, humble brother. It's all in love. But Ray picked the Villanova Wildcats to win the NCAA tournament. And since that is it, why don't we start there? NCAA tournament a week ago. The semifinal games were a week ago. The championship game was just this past Monday. Ray, your Wildcats came out, did their thing, beating up on Michigan, actually.
Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say to you, man, it's easy to want to joke around and gloat. And, of course, I'll still do it. But the thing
did
is, man.
Gloat?
Yeah.
Did he say, get him, Vince.
But the thing about it is, I don't know when it was. I think it was like what the time that they were briefly ranked number one before Virginia just took it over the second part of the regular season. They just had that look. I was just thinking. I mean, a lot of times people probably can't say experience makes a difference like they used to, because you know you get those Cinderella teams and one shot wonders. But Villanova just had that look, man. I mean, the well stacked. I mean, even though Jalen Brunson is the quote unquote face of the team, look at the rest of the team averaging double digits. Look at the most outstanding player.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness, Vincenzo. I mean, goodness gracious. Vincenzo, yeah. And then jacked his name up more times than anything. But
you're not alone. I bet you other people did as well.
But just look at him. And then my thing is, he really impressed me more in the national championship game.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with how they started off. They started off a little sluggish. And then he comes off the bench and was just nailing threes. Mm-hmm. And then, what's his name? Brunson only had 9 points.
In the whole game.
So, it's nice to see when you have a team effort like that. And Jay Wright keeps them grounded. So, they get my props. So, it's just nice to see.
Yeah, but when you have Dante DiVincenzo coming out and scoring 31 points.
Yeah, that's a record.
He came out in the middle of the first half. He actually got his first shot on the court. I think, 6 minutes into the game, and he nailed a three.
I mean, that was a long three.
When everybody saw the three, and he had a hand in his face. Right. So everybody saw when he nailed that three, it's like, uh-oh, here we go again. Because you know they broke the record the game before.
Yeah.
I'm knocking down with 18.
18, yeah, it was 18.
For an NCAA record in the semifinals, in the final four, for the team with the most three-point shots. But now, Let me look at you, Vince. The Wildcats, do they have prospective NBA players on their squad?
Oh, yeah. Or was it just a absolutely.
Team? Oh, they do.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I mean, when you look top to bottom, I mean, they're Mikal Bridges. Mm-hmm. He's a nice athletic wing. I mean, Jalen Brunson, I think it will be I think he'll definitely get consideration. I think his style reminds me a little bit slower than Mark Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's like, I don't want to call him slow, but he's deliberate. And you saw that, like the first couple shots, mm-hmm. you go straight to the post. Right. And how often do we see point guards going to the post? He had that working a little. Take four or five dribbles,
yeah.
like hard, deliberate dribbles. Sets the defense up, spins around, and he was nailing that little turnaround shot all tournament long. And they mm-hmm. really had no answer for it. And it was a nice, for the championship game, what I saw, Michigan wanted to come out and establish Mo Wagner, their big guy.
Of course.
You know, get him involved.
Forward.
Right.
He's 6'11", I think, but he looks like he's 7 feet.
And nice and skilled, confident.
Yeah.
I think you always like to see players come out and play confident. Mm-hmm. He has a nice inside outside game. Like, he's physical. He doesn't back away from the contact. Can knock down free throws. And he played a solid game, but they just didn't have enough players that stepped up around him. In particular, Abdul Rahman. Like, I expected him to have a big game, and he really kind of disappointed on the biggest stage.
Yeah, because I know didn't he have about 23?
Did he have
24? Yeah,
24. I'm thinking overall. You know what? Yeah. Simpson. Yeah. I got, like, they needed Simpson to have a better game, and he didn't.
Right.
I look at their roster, but there's a player on Michigan that I thought, besides Simpson, they needed to step up, and they did not got enough shots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can credit Villanova's defense.
Mm-hmm.
Mo Wagner got his shots early and consistently, but they needed someone else. Once the game was close, they needed someone to keep them close.
Right.
And Villanova just, like, slowly, methodically,
yeah.
you know, DiVincenzo came in and knocked down a couple threes, and he was on fire at that point, and they just couldn't stop him.
Incredible. Hey, question about Brunson. Do you think he declares?
I think he stays. Because he's a junior.
He's a junior?
Yeah, right. He's a junior. They only have four seniors, and the four seniors didn't even start. So Villanova's starting five, when you look at that, and then even the reserve to the sixth man,
mm-hmm.
they're underclassmen.
Oh, they all gone, yeah.
So, I mean, even Mikal Bridges is a junior. So it's like, wow.
But do you, like, for Brunson, though, what will he have to prove next year?
Yeah. He won the Player of the Year award, too, right?
But yeah, Player of the Year, solid all the way around.
Yeah.
He's obviously a leader. Yeah. Got the genes, right. You know, from Rick Brunson's dad.
Right.
I think he tests the waters. He probably doesn't sign an agent,
mm-hmm.
but I think I see him at least testing the waters and seeing where might he go. Because you think about it, the top point guards so far they've declared or we think will declare: Colin Sexton, Trey Young,
mm-hmm.
Any other true point guards that would be in this draft. That would be in the conversation like Brunson would.
The only reason I just dispute that is because it's Jay Wright as Villanova Wildcats. You don't see a lot of Villanova Wildcats declaring for the draft in the past, as his history would show you. And that's why I say that. And then, you know, he's a 6'3 guard. He weighs 199. He averaged 18 points a game, of course. I give you that. He had 3 rebounds, and he averaged 4 assists. Impressive, but I don't see NBA. When I see Jalen Brunson right now, even though he's, I got you, on Friday night, just this past Friday, they had the NCAA Basketball Awards. The show was on last night. Go check it out if you want to check it out. But before that, he was declared, you know, the Player of the Year type of thing. And I get it, but I didn't hear all the hubbub about Jalen Brunson. You heard about the Villanova Wildcats, right? You know, as a team,
right? As a team,
I don't think he wows you physically,
right?
And that's probably the if any knock or negative on him is that he's not super quick,
right?
Like Trae Young and Colin Sexton, like he doesn't get up and down the floor. But I think he, when he needs to, I think he's quick enough. Like I didn't see him get beat on defense.
Right. I got you. I just don't think it's just me. I mean, when you look at that five, I mean, Jalen Brunson, a junior, 6'3". Mm-hmm. You got Mikal Bridges, 6'7", a junior, a guard. Dante DiVincenzo is the sixth man. Mm-hmm. He's, what, 6'5"? Mm-hmm. He comes off the bench. He averages 13 points a game. And then you still got Amari Spellman. Now, that young man, I see NBA on Amari Spellman.
I mean, I can see.
And he's a freshman.
I see Bridges gone. I can see Spellman leaving.
Mm-hmm. I can too.
Because, I mean, again, I go back to the way the NBA is now. A lot of it is about potential.
Right.
And so when you have to be careful, I'm not advocating players leave and leave their education behind. But when you think about the way the NBA is, mm-hmm. like I say, it's all about potential. And if you've gotten to a point, like Jalen Brunson is a junior, kids with that talent don't usually stay around to their seniors because the NBA scouts are like, oh, he's old, or now he comes back another year and he doesn't have the same type of season that he had, so his draft stock plummets.
That's a possibility, but the only reason I didn't say that is think about this now. Jalen Brunson has won 2 NCAA championships mm-hmm. in 3 years. I just think it's like, okay, wait a minute. Now this year is my senior year. Last year this was my team, but this year this is my team, you know, going into next season. And he gets a chance to win again. Now, I don't know his financial situation, you know, and I don't think that should matter. Mm-hmm. But I just think that the type of team that I saw when I looked at the Villanova Wildcats on the floor, he didn't mind not being a star.
Right.
You know, and I just
– That is true.
That – him being that part of that nucleus for this team, I think he probably would want to go out and say, okay, yeah, my senior year, I could have a better year because I got these guys that I've played with for three and two years, and we all can progress together, especially when you look at Amari Spellman. And then Eric Pascal, Scott Pascal, I forgot to mention him. He's a 6'6 junior. He averaged 10 points a game, 4 down, 5 boards, and 2 assists. But when you have cats like that, I mean, you play ball, when you're playing ball with guys, it's a lot of fun. Now, if you talk about money, okay, you might leave because of money, but I just didn't.
But you, I mean, you're playing for the fun of the game is one thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're getting to a point where guys have shown what they're capable of doing. So a guy like Amari Spellman mm-hmm. has shown he can bang, truly bang down low. He's full of athleticism.
Right.
Can step out and hit the three.
He's big at 6'9", 260.
Right. So what's not – if he leaves
– Yeah, I get it.
Mikal Bridges leaves. And I know – and I see DiVincenzo stepping into a starter's role next year, especially, you know, when Bridges leaves. Obviously, you know, they're going to recruit.
So you think Bridges is leaving?
Yeah.
You know what? I think him and Spellman are probably going to leave, too.
You think so, too?
Yeah, because I like his game and inside the paint.
He's an easy lottery pick to me.
Yeah.
Easy.
Wow. Okay. And so you see Bridges leaving. Mm-hmm. He's a 6'7 guard. Now, see, he's 6'7 and he's a guard. He's now, those are NBA numbers.
Penny Hardaway right there.
You understand what I'm saying? Right. And he's 6'7, he's a guard. Averaged 17 points a game, pulled down 5 boards, right. And an assist.
He would guard forward, you know, shooting guard, I'm small just saying, forward.
Yeah, at 6'7, 191, I see that. Mm-hmm. And forgive me for being prejudiced as we got, because I am an Allen Iverson fan, and Allen Iverson is not 6 feet tall. But when you're talking about the 6'3", 6'1", 6'2 guards, to me in the NBA, they're a dime a dozen.
Right.
Like Jalen Brunson could be a star at this level, but he could go to the NBA and disappear. So that's what I'm thinking. To me, it's like, well, I could see him coming back another year.
You can.
I mean, I can
because
see
he didn't have outstanding numbers.
I can see him coming back, mm-hmm. but I think that when you factor in what NBA scouts may look at as his ceiling, like how much better could he be?
And that's the question. That's what I'm saying.
And in that system, so I mean, you have a budding star in Dante DiVincenzo.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean the way Villanova plays, Jay Wright coaches his team to be well balanced.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. See, and it's like that cohesiveness as a squad. Now, we shut Ray out. See, Ray didn't say a word. We opened this up with talking like, Ray, it's you and the Villanova Wildcats. You picked.
I'm listening, man. I mean, I got things to say now, but y'all do what y'all do. Remember, I'm contrary Ray. So go ahead.
So no, it's all good. inside joke because we told Ray last week he agrees with everything, no matter what anybody's saying. So this week he's going to be contrary Ray. Okay. But what we're going to do is we'll take a real quick break. We're talking NCAA hoops. Of course, the national championship was won last Monday by the Villanova Wildcats. We'll come back. We'll finish up that conversation. And then we'll get into some probably NFL. We got some Major League Baseball to talk about. We have a whole bunch of sports to talk. It's Saturday. I'm excited. And the Masters is going on. I think rounds 3 and 4. 3 is today. 4 is tomorrow.
Right.
And you know we want to talk about Tiger Woods. So it's Urban Media Today talking sports. We'll be right back.
Looking for some magic. Urban Media Today Radio. For the very best in adult and urban music, listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast toast and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today Talk Sports, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. And we're talking Villanova Wildcats. They won the NCAA championship Monday. And we're continuing the conversation a little bit because Ray, who picked the Wildcats to win the tournament, he kind of got shut out because Vince and I got on the road talking about Jalen Brunson and whether or not
he shut out.
All right, he didn't get shut out, but he shut up. No, I'm just saying. What you got, man? We're talking about Villanova and Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Dante DiVincenzo, the MVP of the Final Four.
So they'll probably have two leaving. Like I said, I do believe Bridges, and I do believe they're power forward / center. And Spellman, because he had 11 rebounds. He was very impressive.
And he's a freshman. Did I say that already?
He's a freshman. From Isn't
Cleveland.
That crazy?
Yeah. From Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, well.
From Cleveland. There you go.
Yeah, no, that's where Vince is from. Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, like y'all both said, it's one of those cases of what else you have to prove or why not come back. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. How about the new recruiting class coming in, too? I mean, that could make them odds and favorites to win next year, but they already have Duke as the
number one class. Yeah.
And that's why people need to. I just wish people would stop saying, because Pitt got their assistant coach, that the Zion kid is going to come. No, he's going to stay right where he at. He know what's up. he's no dummy.
That's just wishful thinking.
Thank you. That's Tinkerbell thinking.
Well, you know what though? I didn't hear that, but I mean, I'm not mad at it. Jeff Capel is who he's talking about, who was hired as the Pitt new head basketball coach. A week ago, well, not even a week yet, but he was brought in last week and introduced, and he's the first black head coach in Pitt University basketball, men's basketball history, which is amazing to me. This is 2018, so I think we talked about that. But Jeff Capel has been involved. Duke, by the way, has one of the top five underclass classes coming into this school for the past 5 years. Mm. Jeff Capel has been involved in each one of those recruiting classes. That's what Ray's talking about.
Yeah, not surprised at all. I mean, his reputation speaks for itself. I mean, he has a work to do here. I mean, in Pittsburgh.
Right.
But, no, there's no way in this planet that class, any of those members of that class, are going to leave because Capel left.
Well, I mean, okay, you know what? Just so some people know, you got R.J. Barrett, 6'7", 200-pound forward. A shooting forward out of Florida. He committed to Duke. These are McDonald's All-Americans, by the way. Then you also had, if I'm not mistaken, you had Zion Williamson, who was a power forward, 6'6". He's a man-child. 272 pounds. 6'6", 272 pounds. And he's, what, 17 years old?
Jeez, you know who he's going to replace.
And he's going to Duke. He's out of Spartanburg, South Carolina. And then Duke also got Trey Jones, point guard, 6'2", 183 pounds. He's out of Minnesota. He's going to go to Duke. And then you had Cameron Reddish, who is also a McDonald's All-American, who is 6'7", 203 pounds, out of Westchester, right outside of Philly. He's going to Duke. So when Ray talks about the class of underclassmen coming in for Duke next year, that's going to be amazing. And when I look at the list of All-Americans that played in the McDonald's All-American High School All-American game, a week ago, there's nobody in there from going to Villanova.
Wow.
And Villanova's a national champion. Now, that could change because I think there was about six people on these rosters between the East and West teams that didn't, that are still undecided. But when you talk about a class coming in, and we were talking about Jeff Capel and Pitt because originally we were talking about Villanova. But, I mean, hey, I don't put it past him. I mean, Jeff Capel's been around. He played for Duke. I mean, he knows players. He knows high school talent. I could see him making some things happen.
But just look, I mean, the way I look at it is, it's Duke. You know, the reputation speaks for itself.
Yeah, that's cool.
You're playing for a winner. And I don't think that Villanova's going to repeat next year. There's really, when was the last time a team has repeated in college basketball? Was it Florida with Donovan?
Yeah.
So I think that new team's coming in. It could be Duke. It could be North Carolina. And I respect those teams that know how to get them, recruit them after losing them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you on that. And,
right.
And I got to say real quick, if I in Pittsburgh, you know, we know this is a national show, but we're based out of Pittsburgh and had the opportunity for Soul Take Champions Live, which comes on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. It's Kevin Cameron and Bill Neal. They actually went to the press conference and got involved in the interviewing with Jeff Capel. Big ups to them because, again, it's the first time, the first black head coach in Pitt University history. So kudos to them. Again, it's Soul Take Champions Live. Check out that show on Wednesday evenings, 7 p.m. It's a two-hour show. Ours is only an hour because we hit you real quick and fast, get in with the information. We get out. You get to hear us twice on Saturday, 8 a.m., and then again at 6 p.m. Now, those guys, their show is a good show as well. Listen to that Wednesday evening, 7 p.m., Soul Take Champions Live, and that's Bill Neal and Kevin Cameron. Ray and Vince aren't there. No, I'm
just well, you know,
these are my boys. I got to come home every Saturday, but that show's good as well. And Ray, let me ask you this: you said you don't think Villanova would repeat, but I mean, would we expect them to repeat? I mean, when you think about it,
well, emotionally, if you ask the average Villanova fan, their emotions are probably still so high, and they're still in party mode. They'd probably tell you definitely, but no, not in college basketball. I do not expect them to repeat.
Right. Right.
It's just things can happen.
And yeah, yeah. I mean, it could.
And they always talk about parity.
Right.
But teams get better. Right. You know, so it's just, it'll be interesting indeed.
Got you. So that was it. Villanova won the men's title game a week ago. But then again, on the same weekend.
Incredible.
On the same weekend.
Yeah.
Which is incredible is Notre Dame came through and won the women's national championship. Arika Ogunbowale.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, for twice. Real. Say it five times
she
fast.
She nailed the game winner twice. This is two back. This is back-to-back Final Four games. Number one, the first time was against UConn, who has not lost since they lost in the semifinals last year.
Knocked down the dynasty.
So Ogunbowale comes in and nails a shot at the end of the overtime against UConn to get Notre Dame past UConn. UConn's first and only loss of the season comes in the game before the championship game the second time in a row.
Incredible.
Because they did it last year. They lost to Mississippi State in the semifinals. This year, Mississippi State makes it again, but this time they're playing Notre Dame. Ogunbowale comes in and knocks down the shot. This time it was a three-point shot with 3 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, like same spot.
Yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
So I was telling my son, I was like, yo, man. He said, yo, Dad, did you see the championship games, the Final Fours? I said, yeah. Did you see the women? He's like, no. I said, they were just as exciting as the men.
They were balling.
They were balling.
I was like, yo, if anybody has not been following women's basketball, man, if you saw this Final Four, you probably became an instant fan.
Right. Because
unlike the men's bracket, the top four teams in each region, the top team in each region.
We're all number one seeds.
They were all number one seeds. Yeah. They made it to the Final Four. So you had a true Final Four.
Right, a true Final Four, that's for sure.
Which is amazing. And then, you know, UConn doesn't get past the Final Four, the first game of the Final Four, because they lose to Notre Dame. Then Notre Dame has to go in and take on Mississippi State. Yeah. So I just wanted to put that out there. Can't let that go. Ogunbowale, she was named the MVP of the Final Four.
Deservingly.
Yeah.
And the thing that I really do like about the tournament is it's easy to always think that you have one team That's just going to do it all the time. I admit that at the beginning of the tournament, I said no one's going to stop UConn. I said that last year, though, too.
Yeah.
UConn, rest of NCAA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. This is the 19th tournament.
Incredible.
Straight?
Incredible.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Right, right. So,
yeah, just yeah, you want to talk dynasty, that's a dynasty.
And then we talk about how Duke and all the other teams can just recruit. Look at how Geno gets recruits every year.
Well, I mean, gets the best players,
right?
You know, from the best teams, best high school teams. So, I mean, it's easy to see how he can stay. I can't even say competitive,
like, right?
I mean, how he stays, you know, head and shoulders above other teams, and,
right?
And kudos to South Carolina last year and Notre Dame this year. I think it's always nice to see other teams step up.
For sure,
you know, you don't. I mean, as great as UConn is and has been. You do want to see other teams mm-hmm. have a chance. A team like UConn, and I'm sure Gino Auriemma preaches to his kids, his girls all the time, you know, we got the bullseye on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everybody,
absolutely.
Like we're going to get everybody's best game. And this year would, you know, prove to be no different.
That's
Notre
for
Dame.
Sure. Of course. And who was a young lady that was on their team a few years ago for Notre Dame? Wiggins, trying to think of her first name. She's in obviously in the WNBA now. She won a National Player Award just a couple of years ago. I just have to look her up. But they were the ones that were the biggest challenge to them then.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I got you. Mm-hmm. And then I was happy that Dawn Staley in South Carolina got it done last year.
Mm-hmm.
Was honestly hoping, even though I'm thinking nobody could stop UConn, I was honestly hoping she would do it again.
Right,
but so it's nice to see other teams really stepping it up and posing a challenge.
That's true. Gino Auriemma, his record, he has over 1,000 wins and he has 135 losses. That's over 33 years, man.
35
and that's
losses.
Women's basketball, 135.
135
losses. But it's 1,000 wins. That's 33 years. Are you kidding me? at one school? Are you kidding me? So there you go with that. Now moving real quick on to the NBA. NBA basketball. Can I say Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks?
You say it well.
They're in the playoffs. Can I say Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers?
Can we say rookie of the year?
They're in the playoffs. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Dr. J gave him a compliment this week. Said he's great. He said he's an excellent player. Can I say Kyrie? Nope, I can't say Kyrie Irving, can I? The Boston Celtics are in the playoffs, but Kyrie, out?
Out, done.
It's going to be like last year for them.
Out with his second knee surgery. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what, gentlemen? We mentioned 2 weeks ago that Kyrie had to have knee surgery, and it was supposed to be kind of like exploratory.
Yeah, just surgery? Just a minor thing.
Okay, and we figured, okay, because it's the NBA now. You, me, and Ravens, you know, it's like we're regular men, so you're gonna cut my knee open, or even just go in with a microscope, and we're gonna be out for more than 2 weeks, right. And I don't think we're coming back and hitting the court.
Right,
you that's understand for sure. What I'm saying? So because it's Kyrie Irving, because it's the NBA, because of we know the
money invested,
the medical care that they get.
Yeah, these guys are elite,
right.
Elite athletes.
So he'll be back in 2 weeks to play ball. Nope. Mm. So now he's going to have surgery again, and he'll be out for the rest of the playoffs, and the regular season is over in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that is a blow. And then think about who they lost after the first game.
Huh?
And think about who they lost after the first game. Gordon Hayward, yeah. And then last year lost IT.
They persevered this year. I mean, they proved me wrong. I didn't think they would gel this quickly. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say their season is over, but – when I look at the first round matchup, right now we're looking at Boston as the number 2 seed versus the Wizards.
John Wall, Bradley Beal.
I mean, for real.
Ooh. Without a Kyrie Irving?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I give Kyrie Irving credit. He wanted to be the man, and he showed he could lead a team. I mean, I give him that credit. So, wow. So it's going to be interesting. I think Washington's going to be after him, man.
Certainly. I had it build Kyrie versus Wall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then Kyrie, you know, he decided to sit this one out.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's going to be like, yeah, not the same positions, but Al Horford is the leader of that team now.
Mm-hmm.
And so Horford versus John Wall. I don't know. I think John Wall, I feel like he has something to prove. We play with a chip on your shoulder.
Yep.
You know, I know this is probably old news now, but you know, last couple of years he's been snubbed for the All-Star, you know, and all that. So and Kyrie's gotten the nod. So I'm sure he was looking at this like, here's my chance. But when Washington is no joke. Washington is no joke. John Wall, Bradley Beal, Kelly Oubre Jr. They have some decent pieces, and if they could if they can steal home court in the first round, you know, I think they're moving on.
Well, the Wizards, you know, they got what, I think they got three more games left in the season. I think Boston has four. And the interesting thing about, you said you think that's going to be the matchup. Well, that's going to be a matchup with Boston number two and the Wizards number seven. They played three times already this year. And Washington won two games. Boston won one. That's with Kyrie Irving. They got one more game April 10th. Which will be in D.C., in the nation's capital, by the way. So that might be a preview to what may happen in the postseason as the NBA season wraps up. So that's going to be interesting. As of right now, you know, as we're talking now, it was like Boston's 53-25 and Washington's 42-37. But once it comes to the second part of the season, don't even look at the records. Records won't even matter.
That's for sure. And, you know, I like the fact that Milwaukee did make the playoffs this year because – those who had never, and you know, it may sound strange to say this, but those who had never heard of the Greek Freak, now they're going to know him.
Oh, yeah, without question. Giannis Antetokounmpo, that's his name. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Why do I keep saying it? Because he's a bad man.
Now, what do you think about the potential first-round matchup, Milwaukee versus Toronto?
Toronto. It's going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's going to be all
upset
Giannis.
Upset special.
Because you got Kyle Lowry with Toronto and DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is a beast. But I heard tell on, you know, we listen to the sports experts, so-called experts, you know, through the week on TV, that he kind of disappears when it comes to the big games. But that's against LeBron James. Okay, that's not against everybody else because Toronto is the number one seed this time around. But in a series between the two teams this year so far, the Raptors lead that series 2-1. So, I mean, I think if Giannis can get off and he can get some help, Milwaukee's going to be tough. But if not, you know, it's going to be all Toronto.
Right.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I have to use a clever Lang line on Toronto. They're paper champions, man. You know?
How can you say that? They're athletes on the court, man. We're just sitting up here at a round table having a conversation.
That's right. Contrary Ray is in effect, okay? So, the paper champion. The reason why I say that, because, I mean, they're good. I put them in the same realm as the Washington Capitals and the Washington Nationals. They know how to do it in the regular season. But in the postseason, nah. I'm not convinced that they're going to. In fact, I honestly believe that Milwaukee is going to beat them. And they might sweep them.
Now, see, this is Toronto has the home court advantage in that series. You know, they're the number one seed.
But the Greek Freak going to show. He's going to show it.
All right. So you feel like now that you got that one game winning streak, you know, you
got to build up.
You just throwing it on to the wind now. Like
you got to build up on that little winning streak. I won't even say sweep. Realistically speaking, maybe like a 3-1 or even a 4-2. I'm not convinced, man.
Toronto is strong.
They're strong.
Toronto's strong. Like, it's not just DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. It's that bench. Like, so watch that. You know, like you said, Giannis needs help.
He needs help.
I don't know who's gonna give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Jabari Parker may drop 15 and 17, but to me that's not gonna be enough.
Right,
like Giannis is gonna he's gonna have to carry this team, and against Toronto, I just don't, you know, well, I see this series. If this is the matchup, the 1-8, I see Toronto winning 4-1.
I mean, they need to go back into the past and get Vince Carter for this game.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the past, man. We're talking about the present. We're talking about right now. We're actually talking about the future.
No. But my point is, that's why I'm saying they're paper champions.
Oh, there you go. I didn't say it. He said it.
I'm going to keep saying it.
All right.
But the thing about it is, I just don't think – I think that's going to be the upset special. So we'll see.
Okay. But I think Giannis can get help from Eric Bledsoe. Mm-hmm. I think Eric can help him out. They got Eric in the trade in the season. Brought him over from Phoenix. Malcolm Brogdon is going to have to step up and help out a little bit. I don't know, man. They got Matthew Dellavedova, but he was. I think that time with Cleveland was his time. I think that was the peak for Dellavedova. Right. But he could shoot. I mean, but I just think that like I said, he needs help. They need help. John Henson too. Don't forget about John Henson, the big center, 6'11". He can make some things happen for him. So, and then Thon Maker. Like, Thon's going to have to come through and play.
That's the thing, though, to me, is outside of Giannis, like, who's going to score? Like, I mean, yeah, Bledsoe.
You said Jabari Parker.
I mean, he's just now getting back.
Right.
And so, I think it's tough to get back into shape. And then now the playoffs are here. He knows it's another level.
Right.
I like Jabari Parker. I just don't think he's quite ready yet to in the playoffs to really offer all the help that he can for Giannis.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So we don't lose time and miss out. The rest of the matchups look like this right now. The season's not over yet. There's only like four games or less left in the regular season. Number 3, Cleveland, will take on number 6, Miami. Whoa, LeBron James.
Facing his boy, drama.
D. Wade. They were just teammates. Now they're going to play against each other in the playoffs?
And he hasn't been doing too well. He hasn't been doing too well against them either.
Yeah. It's going to be fun watching D. Wade and Bron go at it. Because they're boys.
The success that the Heat have had against LeBron, I don't think it's going to – the regular season – not going to mean anything.
New level. Time.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And LeBron even said, Cleveland, they don't know what they are right now. Mm-hmm. It's like because they're finding out new things about them. So LeBron's going to put the postseason, it's going to be on LeBron's shoulders once. Right. Mm-hmm. He got a lot to prove. Even though you think he wouldn't, I don't think he does, but I think he thinks he got a lot to prove. And it's like, is he trying to be the beard too? Because his beard looking like James Harden's beard now. all right, and then the other one is Philadelphia taking on Indiana. I'm going with the Sixers. They're number 4. The Pacers are number 5. That could be tight.
Sixers.
I got to go with Philly, man.
They need Paul George for this one.
Got to go with Philly.
I can see same thing like Toronto-Milwaukee. I can see Philly going 4-1. I mean, I think Embiid, like his injury, the orbital fracture, is different than, knee injuries and whatnot. I think he comes – throw a mask on. He'll be back.
Okay.
Embiid and Simmons. I mean, he's phenomenal.
Right.
I think you're gonna see Simmons like punish the opposing guard, whether that's Oladipo. Hopefully, Oladipo doesn't have to guard him because it's 6'10" versus 6'3". Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's just not gonna be fair.
No, it's not a good matchup.
But Simmons, I mean, and he, you know. His game is just ridiculous. When you watch them play, they inbound the ball. He takes a couple dribbles and he's throwing the ball up court.
Right,
and then when he gets it, when he crosses over half court, he doesn't have a jump shot, but you can't stop him from getting in the lane.
Gotcha.
So I feel like this Philly team, although I don't think they're ready to compete for a championship yet, I think you're going to see them take a huge leap. In terms of and Markelle Fultz, I forgot about him coming back. So Philly has all this talent that Indiana just can't match up with. So I see them dominating the first round.
Yeah.
And then we'll see who they match up with in the second round. But I think we're going to see if you watch the playoffs this year and you get a chance to watch Philly. Philly is going to make you enjoy watching basketball again.
Yeah. And I honestly believe that, they're their up-and-comers.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, once again, I believe it's Cleveland's conference again. And then I also believe Golden State's going to fall.
Speaking of Golden State.
That's my bold prediction.
Speaking of Golden State, Steph Curry injured. We don't know if Kevin Durant is at full health.
Yeah.
They're the number 2 seed right now in the Western Conference as we switch over. They're taking on New Orleans, the Brow.
Oh, I love it.
But he, again, like Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's going to have to come up big, and he's going to have to get some support. And then the number one seed over there is Houston with the beard. They play Minnesota. Ooh, the That's big cat.
Be good.
That's Carl Anthony be Towns.
Good.
Yeah. For Minnesota and the Timberwolves. But they're an 8 seed. Houston's on fire with GP3. Well, not GP3. CP3 and the beard. And then you have the number three seed, Portland, taking on Oklahoma City, who I picked to win it all, of course, which might not happen. They're the sixth seed. You got Utah taking on San Antonio. San Antonio's a fifth seed. All right, gentlemen, the floor is yours.
You know, I can say that Oklahoma has gelled compared to how they were when they started. So I could see them at least winning their first round matchup. You know, I like how they got it together. I mean, even with Carmelo not doing what he's done in the past.
Yeah, he doesn't get as many looks, you know, as many shots. So, yeah, I mean, you expect his production to be down a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I like how they looked in the second half.
But this is the thing about that series. They play Portland, and they don't have home court advantage, and Portland has beat them four times this season.
Wow.
In the regular season. Four times.
I don't know. Westbrook can do it, though. I think he can. He got that willpower, though, man.
They're still trying to figure things out, and that's not good. Like, you know, getting ready to roll into the playoffs.
Yeah, you got
to
have it together, right?
You know, there's not that they're bad, but yeah, I mean, you just expect for the talent to kind of shine through, and Portland, obviously, they have two dynamic guards. In Lillard and CJ McCollum, and if they do anything like they did last year, where they were just on fire, OKC might be done in the first round.
Yeah, well, like I said, they lost to them four times. Portland beat them four times. I mean, in the regular season, so that's gonna be interesting. All right, so let's wrap this up real quick, gentlemen. Who are you picking coming out of the East and the West for the NBA championship game, Vince?
I'm gonna pick Cleveland. I think LeBron is still at the top of his game. He still understands what the playoffs are about. He still reigns over the East. And if I can see Toronto coming, you know, advancing, but Toronto, as strong as Toronto is, and I think they're a very strong team. I think their past failures are going to haunt them again. Outside of my own desire for my team to win, you know, I would like to see Toronto advance, you know, so that guys can sort of get rid of that stigma of not being able to, get to the Eastern Conference Finals to compete for an NBA championship. But historically speaking, Toronto has kind of faded in the playoffs. When playoff time starts, Kyle Lowry doesn't show up like he has in the regular season. DeMar DeRozan, I think, still does his thing, but as good as he is, I think the fact that he doesn't have a 3-point shot, like he's not a consistent 3-point threat, hurts him a little bit. I mean, I love his game, and I'm not a big, you know, shoot a bunch of threes. But I think that being more consistent, being more of a threat from 3-point range, would just totally open up his game, and it's not really his game. So in the East, I see Cleveland, especially with Boston. Like if Kyrie was playing, I'd give the nod to Boston. I would, because I think Kyrie would have wanted it that bad. But right now, LeBron is king, and I see him coming out of the East. In the West, when we did our predictions last year, I picked Golden State. I think I picked Golden State to win it all. And I don't know if I picked Cleveland or – I either picked Cleveland or Golden State. But coming out of the West, I can see Houston beating Golden State. I think Big Man talked about how Houston hadn't done it in the past, so he didn't see him doing it this year. But I think Houston is stronger than they have been in the past. I think CP3, that's the key to me, is CP3, if he's healthy, I think he gets him over the hump with Golden State. So I'm going to go Cleveland out of the East, Houston out of the West.
What you got, Ray?
Yeah. And, you know, I won't accuse Vince of being a copycat. But I say that to mess with him. I do like Cleveland, and I like how they just made the necessary moves at the deadline, bold moves, and look how it just made the team better. And look at how, like you had said earlier, Trevin, how LeBron, just he has it on his shoulders. He's, I mean, the Jordan of this era, the LeBron of this era, whatever, but he is just doing it, and his willpower can carry this team to another Eastern Conference title. So I believe they have what it takes to do that. I don't think any team in the East can catch them. That includes the paper champions, and that includes Boston without Kyrie Irving, and that includes the up-and-coming Philly team. Philly's just maybe a year or two away, so I give that to Cleveland. As far as the West, I do believe this is Houston's season for the conference. I believe they have. And the eventual MVP, James Harden, he's getting it done with them. I could see it from the start of the season. And I think they have what it takes to rule the Western Conference. So I expect to see those two teams in the finals.
So you're saying Cleveland and Houston as well?
Yes, I am saying
that. And Vince said Cleveland and Houston, correct?
Yeah.
All right, so that wraps up this segment. You want to know who I'm going to pick? But I'll tell you who I'm thinking about. Come back after this.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Every Media Today Talk Sports, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr., and we're talking NBA and the gentleman. We're wrapping up the conversation about the playoffs coming up and the matchups, which we think will be matched up the way things stand. Many of the teams have already clinched playoff spots. So Vince and Ray each said that they think that the Cleveland Cavaliers will win the Eastern Conference and make it to the NBA championship game, and the Houston Rockets will win the West, and they'll also make it to the championship game to face off each other. We'll come up next week with our predictions for who we think will win it all. But right now, what I'll do with mine is I'm going to pick the Cleveland Cavaliers coming out of the East. Nope, I'm not. I'm picking the Philadelphia 76ers coming out of the East. Oh, and I'm also going to pick I picked Oklahoma City to win it all. But, you know, that was in December. This is now April. And as I see the season develop, I am going to pick the Golden State Warriors to make it to the finals again. And then next week we'll tell you who we think's win. So remember, I said Philadelphia and Golden State. Wow, Trevin, what are you drinking?
Very
That's what these
wild.
Guys said the last time. I always go out on a limb. Why not take a chance? Real quick, John McCann has a story in his segment. I know you're going to dig this. And the man is playing today. Tiger Woods playing in the Masters, and John says that Tiger might be listening to his body. Or is he?
I know you're going to dig this.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell.
The National Football League lost a great one with the retirement of Joe Thomas. The man endured 11 seasons as a left tackle with the Cleveland Browns. Just one winning season during that time. Dude never played in the playoffs. But his 10,363 consecutive snaps is believed to be an NFL record. Injury brought that to an end, forced him to retire. But Thomas listened to his body. Like Tiger Woods is doing. Yeah, Joe Thomas is 33 and Tiger Woods is 42, but Tiger is listening to his body. And according to multiple accounts, Tiger is, which is absolutely saying an awful lot, because you know what that man's been through. Divorce, alimony, broke down body, painkillers to make his bad body bounce back. I mean, I don't care how good of a golfer you are, you go through all that, your game is gonna fall off just like Tiger's did. Yeah, here he is, y'all. After all of that, after all he's been through, Tiger is being regarded as somebody with a legit shot at winning the Masters this weekend because he listened to his body. And me, as an old man who, too, has not done everything just right, can look at old man Tiger with all those stripes on him and say, if he's still in the game, then maybe I got one more shot, too. And you know, I like an athlete who will keep playing just because there's something still left in the tank. At the same time now, you gotta know when to hold them, you gotta know when to fold them. Otherwise, you go from Michael Jordan pushing off on Byron Russell to win a sixth NBA title with the Chicago Bulls to a Michael Jordan retiring as a Washington Wizard. but Tiger Woods is listening to his body, and apparently, yeah, he's healed. His back is better. His long game ain't short no more. His putter no longer is pitiful. Somebody say, roar, Tiger.
Roar, Tiger.
Connected from the field to the stands, I'm your man, John McCann.
Tiger Woods, John McCann saying Tiger is feeling his body because Tiger is 40-something years old. And then you had Joe Thomas, who retired, Cleveland Browns, who's 30. I think Joe Thomas is 33, Tiger's 43, is what John said. But Tiger Woods is trying to chase down Jack Nicklaus for that 19 majors wins. Tiger's at 14. I don't know. Is his body calling? You heard R. Kelly say, your body's calling. Never said I could sing, but anyway. You know how that goes.
Go ahead, hit the notes.
Nah, man. I missed every note. What you guys think?
I think Tiger's going to come close, but I think in the end, his body is not going to hold up. Look, I love Tiger. Tiger has made me enjoy the game of golf. Like, I wouldn't watch golf if it wasn't for Tiger, and I love to see him succeed, but this is the Masters is the toughest course to play, and I think it's showing this weekend. So I don't see him. For this weekend for the Masters, I hope he finishes without any health issues, and that's these past few weeks since Tiger came back, that's always been how I felt about him. I want him to finish the tournament healthy. Because then, that sets him up to try to finish strong and try to get to the 19th major.
Would be the record because Jack Nicklaus has 18. I think I said 19. Yeah, you're right.
See, contrary Ray says the Tiger's going to win it all. I think he's going to do it. He's going to pull a Willis Reed.
Contrary Ray's getting short and simple, huh? It's like he's just straight to the point. I feel you, man. But Tiger's won 14 majors. Jack Nicklaus has won 18, so Tiger's trying to get to the 14th. Tiger's won 4 Masters. Mm-hmm. Tiger ain't got nothing to prove. I mean, I'm ready for the next Tiger Woods to come up, to be honest with you.
I feel you on that.
You know, so because Tiger literally has nothing to prove. The man has his back fused. Go and he's playing golf. Mm-hmm. And when you play golf, you got to twist your back.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, so to me, he's 43 years old. Tiger, what you got to prove? Nothing. Tiger Woods, if you win, I'm happy for you. If you don't, I'm still happy for you. Can we switch over to football real quick? The NFL draft is going to come up by April 26th. Now, it's going to be a three-day event, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And they do the first round on Thursday.
Right.
And it's Thursday evening. Then Friday, you have a couple rounds, and then Saturday, you have the wrap-up. This is rounds 2 and 3 on Friday, and then rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. So we're going to attempt to act like we're the general managers for the teams that have the top 5 picks. So that's only 4 teams, really. Because the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
Vince Butts. The Cleveland Browns have 2 picks in the top 4. So, Ray, we'll start with you.
Oh,
you're the Cleveland Browns. Man. The Cleveland Browns need a quarterback.
Right.
They and also need a running back.
They're going to get Sam Darnold from USC.
So you're saying Sam Darnold's going to the Browns?
Yeah. With the first pick of the 2018 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns select Sam Darnold, USC.
So, Vince, you're the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, head coach. Who are you picking?
Man, I'm not going to labor like that. Sam Darnold.
It's all part of the drama, man.
Really? Sam Darnold.
Yeah, number one, I see Sam Darnold.
You're saying Sam Darnold, both of you. USC, I'm a USC fan. I see the Cleveland Browns picking Josh Allen as the number one pick. Next on the clock is the New York Giants.
Despite the fact that the Giants look as confusing to the Jets right now, because it's like it makes you wonder what they're doing. But I believe that they're going to pick Saquon Barkley out of Penn State. Nothing like a young running back coming in.
Okay. Who you got, Vince? New York Giants.
All right. I think that this will be the first trade of the NFL draft this year. The Giants trade with Buffalo. They need a quarterback. So I see Buffalo taking Josh Rosen.
I think this is where Sam Darnold ends up in New York at the Giants. All right, so the number 3 pick, you got the New York Jets. Ray, we'll start with you. The Jets also need a quarterback. They also need an edge, an offensive guard, and an offensive tackle.
If you could draft a clue, I think the Jets could probably get that. And they're going to end up getting Rosen from UCLA.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about you, Vince?
This is where I see the Jets taking another quarterback. Now they come quarterback off the board, Josh Allen. And the thing for me though is I like his arm, mm-hmm. and I would like to have seen him have a little bit more success at Wyoming. But the Jets need a quarterback. That's who I would take if I'm the Jets.
This is where the first defensive player comes off the board to me, and this is where Bradley Chubb out of North Carolina State gets picked up. 6'4", 275-pound defensive end, mm-hmm. but they need an edge. Mm-hmm. Bradley Chubb can get up off the ball. Oh, yeah. It is a pass rusher with his hand in the dirt. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine if you let him stand up?
Oh, my.
You know, so the Jets need somebody, and the players that I would have selected for them are gone at this point when you mm-hmm. think of Saquon's gone. Well, Saquon's not going yet because I'm thinking Saquon's going in the next round to the Browns. Mm-hmm. So I think Bradley Chubb goes here.
Okay. Interesting.
We're at number four right now.
Yeah.
Ray, who you got?
Back to the Cleveland Browns. I believe that this team is serious about really getting their stuff together, getting the team together. So I believe they're going to meet a need with this pick, especially with the retirement of Joe Thomas, the future Hall of Famer. I believe they're going to go to Notre Dame and get Mike McGlinchey. He was so good. He played right and left tackle.
All right, man. So who you got going to the Browns at number four?
Cleveland Browns select Bradley Chubb, who is the best defensive player in this draft. He's everything you want in a defensive end, and you pair him with Myles Garrett, and those two defensive ends will get after the quarterback this year.
So you already know who I'm picking with the Cleveland Browns at number four. Saquon Barkley comes in here, man. The running back out of Penn State is an outstanding player. I think probably the best athlete in the draft, one of the best athletes. All right, Ray, who is the fifth and final pick? Who you got in this round? Going to – who's up next? Is it the Broncos?
Yeah, the Broncos, huh? They are going to go after Josh Allen from Wyoming.
All right, what about you, Vince? Denver Broncos, number five.
The guy I chose here is Minka Fitzpatrick.
Cornerback. Yep.
Safety. Yep. Defensive back. Yep. Out of Alabama. I think that he's everything you want in a cornerback, in a defensive back. He's versatile enough to play cornerback and safety, which I know some people are saying that that's going to hurt him. But this guy is dynamic. He's a gamer.
And you just made it easy for me because we just flip flopped even with some of our picks. But yeah, I would think of Fitzpatrick as well because you got Aqib Talib. He went to the Rams, so that's you're missing that spot in the secondary for the Broncos at the cornerback position. So I would also go with Fitzpatrick out of Alabama. Could play cornerback or safety, which would help out the Denver Broncos with their situation for next year. So that's just our top five picks for the upcoming NFL draft, which is April 26th through the 29th, 26th, 27th, and 28th through the 28th. So. We're going to also, you know, the tape never lies, so we're going to bring this up later because when Ray says, no, I didn't say that, we're going to prove that he did say it.
No, contrary people can change up, though, you know.
he's just going to blame it on contrary Ray.
Yeah, right. What did he say? I can either confirm or deny that statement.
No problem. But it's kind of funny, man, because all of us did our picks, and nobody mentioned Baker Mayfield, who was the Heisman Trophy winner. He wasn't in our top five picks.
You know, I thought about him with the Jets. I thought about him with Denver. I just thought the way my mock draft played out, I just thought Minka Fitzpatrick was just too hard to pass up.
Especially he's a need.
Right.
I mean, because you got Cleveland who Cleveland could pick him at number four, maybe.
Right.
But I'm just
seeing
Saquon being available. You already got your quarterback. Why not get a running back? But but Cleveland's need is a cornerback, a tackle, and a safety.
Right.
And Fitzpatrick could fit that cornerback safety thing right there because – but, you know, I feel you.
Oh, I got a pick. I got a spot for Baker Mayfield, but that's to be continued.
So. Okay, so let's continue. So we'll talk about it again. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Ray Porter Jr., Trevin A. Jones, and Vince Butts. And the big guy, Alan Lincoln. Man, I can't wait for you to get back. Number four, Mike is always open. Hope you enjoyed today. Today, check out Tiger Woods on the links because he's still playing in the Masters. We'll talk about that next week. So we'll see you next weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right? You're listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip-hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. We're excited to add that we are your only source for your HBCU college football sports report with Trevin A. Jones. Your morning and afternoon commute is not the same with DJ Sergey Boogie and the Traffic Jam. Tune in 5 to 7 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. Listen in for your daily gossip inside the E-Report with yours truly, Kiki Brown. And don't forget about the Sunday Night Flashback with TJ, Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. Listen online at urbanmediatoday.com or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today Radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.